Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A warning this morning from the director of the CDC of a possibly deadlier assault from the coronavirus yet to come. Dr. Robert Redfield telling the Washington Post that this winter could prove more difficult than the current strain of COVID-19 in the United States. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says nobody can say for certain.
We're also hoping by that time that we have additional treatment options for people with COVID-19. I don't know if it will be worse. I think this has been pretty bad. When you see what has happened in New York, that was very bad.
The Senate's finally approved a measure to inject $300 billion into a popular small business coronavirus relief loan fund. It's now been sent to the House, which could vote on it tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The pastor of the Baton Rouge church remaining defiant even after being arrested Tuesday on an assault charge. Tony Spell of the Life Tabernacle Church spent several hours behind bars after admitting that he drove his church bus towards a man who had been protesting his decision to hold mass gatherings in defiance of public health orders during the coronavirus pandemic. After paying bail, he told supporters,
"I will not give up my right to have church. I will not give up my rights to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ."
Spell already facing misdemeanor charges for holding in-person church services despite a ban on such gatherings. More tornadoes are predicted in the Deep South, with forecasters saying a new storm system could generate severe weather from Texas to the Carolinas today and tomorrow. Today, the biggest severe risk is in Texas and Oklahoma. Tomorrow, in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
President Trump is preparing to suspend immigration into the United States today as the nation continues to try to slow the spread of the coronavirus. In a tweet this morning, the president said he'll be signing the executive order today prohibiting immigration into the country for 60 days. Parts of Southern California rattled overnight by a magnitude 3.7 earthquake that struck Los Angeles County. The U.S. Geological Survey says the quake, originally reported as a magnitude 3.8, struck at about midnight Pacific time in the View Park Windsor Hills area near Inglewood, about 10 miles from downtown L.A. Although there were no immediate reports of damage or injuries, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti did tweet that the fire department had been activated to conduct its routine surveys of the city to assess any damages from the quake. And NFL star Rob Gronkowski is apparently following former teammate and friend Tom Brady down to Florida. Numerous media reports are saying the former New England Patriot has been traded to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and that he's already taken his physical. Gronkowski won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots After being drafted by the team in 2010, former New England quarterback Tom Brady signed with the Bucs earlier this year. Find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. That's usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's all right there as we come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. With us right now is Robert Hutchison, the award-winning writer, speaker, author of numerous books of popular history, including The Dawn of Christianity, When in Rome, and The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Bible. His new book is actually the maiden flight of an exciting new series titled What Really Happened. And our first question and answer is going to address the Lincoln assassination. You know, why not? After 150 years, a multitude of unsolved mysteries and urban legends still surround this notorious event. And so we'll take a look at what really happened in the Lincoln assassination. Robert, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, what a great concept. I am very pleased. I got to tell you, being one who loves history, this is something that I'm particularly interested in, because this opens the gateway to a lot of questions that we have in history, whether it's what happened with the Lincoln assassination, what happened with the Titanic, what happened with JFK. I'm sure you're going to be addressing that, no doubt.
Yes, well, we're going to save that for a while.
Well, who knows? Maybe in a while, all those promised documents that President Trump said he was going to finally release, maybe we might get those, and we might be able to tie this up in a bow, even though Congress had codified it, that they were supposed to release all this information. But there are some powers, maybe some deep state powers, that don't want that information released.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. I mean, part of what we're trying to do with this series is just go back and retell the story based on the facts that we actually know, as opposed to some of the bigger theories. The stories definitely grow in the telling, and I mean, many of the books about the Lincoln assassination, they're 1,000 pages long, and they have a very strong point of view. They have a hypothesis or a theory that they're trying to advance that isn't accepted by all historians, and I like to joke and say I read those big fat books so you don't have to.
Exactly. But, you know, look at if it rhymes with your reason and, you know, you chomp on the hook, you're going to be in for a little bit of a ride, as you say, as you're caught up in reading thousands of pages that can be, you know, almost novelesque, you know, because they, you know, I feel like they abandon, you know, the true art of truth and facts.
Yeah, well, what I do, actually, speaking of novelesque, in my book, what I basically do is follow in alternating chapters the last week of President Lincoln's life, with parallel chapters on the last week of John Wilkes Booth, and how they kind of had this date with destiny, so to speak. And it was such a small world; they kind of moved in the same social circles. And that's one of the weird aspects of this. People don't realize how much Confederate sympathizers or supporters of the Confederacy and Union people lived and worked together in Washington, D.C., I mean, mm-hmm. side by side, except they were literally killing each other. It was literally a civil war going on, and that kind of reminded me of our own polarized era, in that the president was denounced by half the country, the newspapers denounced him, there was fake news. Talk about Trump derangement syndrome. There was definitely Lincoln derangement syndrome.
Exactly.
Just as in our time, people had to live together. They were, you know, they worked together, and sometimes in the same place.
Yeah, you still had to make a living just so that you could keep on hating your neighbor, I guess. It's the way it worked out. But like you say, it's interesting, and you say this in the book, too, that, you know, we always think of whatever we're going through in our own arrogance is the worst ever. But you just pointed out, you know, what President Lincoln was enduring during his time. And as the Bible would tell us, there's nothing new under the sun. So it's deja vu all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, even with the coronavirus, it's nothing like launching a new book in the middle of a pandemic. But even that had a parallel in Lincoln's time when right after he moved into the White House, there was a epidemic of typhoid fever that swept Washington, D.C. because it was basically a swamp. And Lincoln's 11-year-old much-loved son, Willie, died from that during his first year in the White House. And so it's very similar to today.
Thank God President Trump's son did not have to undergo a similar situation as Willie did. But how devastating to the to the Lincolns, to the death of their 11-year-old son.
Yeah, it almost destroyed them both, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Lincoln sat in Willie's room for days just sobbing openly, and Mary Todd Lincoln took to her bed for 3 weeks and didn't even attend his official funeral because she just couldn't endure it.
Well, as you started to look at history and ferret out all the different stories, but, you know, really keeping in mind, as you say, you wanted to follow the facts. I imagine some of these myths got debunked pretty quick.
Yes and no. I mean, we're still arguing about whether Booth acted on his own, sort of like with JFK, or whether the killing of Lincoln was done at the direction of desperate Confederate leaders. There are some of the best historians on the Lincoln assassination still believe the Confederacy was involved. I mean, because Booth met with Confederate agents during a trip to Montreal, and he was introduced to Confederate agents in Maryland, and some of the people that were involved in his plan to kidnap Lincoln. People don't realize this. The initial plan was to kidnap Lincoln and use him as a hostage to trade for prisoners of war so they get soldiers back. But so he definitely had contacts with Confederate agents, but I land on the side of those people who say that Booth was so inept. He was such he had no idea what he was doing. He was not a trained spy. He never had a day in combat in his life. He had no military training to speak of. And when you actually look at what he was trying to do with the kidnapping, I don't think the Confederacy was directing him. They may have known about it, but I don't think they were actively involved.
Just someone who got taken away with his stinking thinking, maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, he was, one of the things I discovered doing this was he had promised his mother they wouldn't fight for the Confederacy. The irony of Booth is he came from a very gentle-spirited family of Union supporters. They were opposed to slavery. They lived most of their life in the North, and yet he developed this kind of odd obsession with the Confederacy because he spent a couple of years down there as an actor during his training, and he was welcomed into their homes, and so he considered himself an honorary member of the South. But that was one of the odd things that this kind of bohemian family of Union supporters produced this presidential assassin.
Wow. What an amazing story. But like you said, the orbits of President Lincoln and John Wilkes Booth, intersected and definitely came together, you know, that fateful night.
Yes. They knew some of the same people. President Lincoln had seen Booth in other productions at Ford Theater. He invited to meet him during the intermission. For some strange reason, Booth turned down the invitation because he hated Lincoln, and yet they kind of moved in in the same circle. So it was a very small area. I walked the whole area, all the different scenes of the entire story, and you know, it's 20 minutes from one point to the other. You can walk the whole area very, very easily.
Yeah. We got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Robert Hutchison in his book, The Lincoln Assassination. Huh, what you thought you knew, right? We're going to pull back more of the curtain when we come back. Stay with us just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like the wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only
$6. Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are. I am Bill. Bill Martinez and Robert Hutchinson continues with us, the historian and writer, and his new series that he's introducing, What Really Happened. And what a great way to cut it off, to kick it all off with his new book, The Lincoln Assassination. So all this is a warning to tell you that there is more to come with the What Really Happened series. So we're excited to see what's next. But right now, we're focusing on one Abraham Lincoln, the Lincoln assassination. Here we are after 155 years, a multitude of unsolved mysteries and urban legends still surround the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It leaves us wondering, whether it's Abraham Lincoln or JFK or other, what really happened, stories that will no doubt come out of this, Robert, what else we're going to discover.
Well, we're going to, the next one in the series is, what really happened, the death of Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you a little bit about that. That comes out in August. Because as early as 2015, the History Channel had a three-year series on exploring the possibility that Hitler actually escaped and didn't die in the bunker.
Mm.
And that whole issue was only definitively resolved, what really happened to Adolf Hitler, in 2018. People don't realize that.
Mm. Well, in getting back to Abraham Lincoln here and John Wilkes Booth and how seemingly incompetent he would be, I mean, was this just kind of serendipitous that, the president was there that evening? I mean, there just seems to be a lack of planning, in a sense, on all this.
Well, they had such a hard time trying to kidnap Lincoln because Lincoln actually was fairly well guarded, and by the time they actually got around to trying to pull it off, the ostensible reason of trading for prisoners was kind of moot because the war was coming to an end. But Booth got this idea that if he had a simultaneous strike, if he killed Lincoln and Vice President Johnson and Secretary of State Seward, he might be able to decapitate the entire Union government in one fell swoop,
exactly.
Throw the whole country into chaos, and that might give Jefferson Davis and the leaders of the Confederacy time to regroup and live to fight another day.
Exactly.
So it wasn't an entirely insane plan, but of course, by the time he actually tried to do it, he only had three desperately poor losers who were his accomplices, and only one of them tried to do one of the other killings and failed at that, and so ultimately only Booth was able to kill his target, which was Lincoln.
Well, these secret accomplices that you talk about, it was seemed like a good plan at the time, but when you've got some incompetent accomplices and probably less than courageous accomplishments, the plan fails.
Yeah, well, he had about two dozen people that were in on the plan to kidnap Lincoln, but as soon as he started hinting about a month earlier that there might be an easier way to do this and was kind of hinting at it may be something more sinister, they all backed out. They had families and futures, and they all said explicitly, hey, we're willing to consider kidnapping, but we don't want any part of murder.
Right.
And they backed out. So at the end, he was only left with three guys who were willing to do whatever he said because he paid them. And they were not the sharpest tools in the shed, let's put it that way. And only one of them even made an attempt to carry out Booth's assignment. He was a dangerous fellow, actually. His name was Lewis Powell, and he was a Confederate guerrilla fighter. And he came close to doing what Booth had asked him to do, which was to kill Seward. But he failed at that, so...
Mm-hmm. Now, I understood that President Lincoln actually had a premonition of his own death, right?
Right. right. That's what everybody says. If you read any of these 1,000-page books on Lincoln, that's in almost every single book. And that's how the stories grow in the telling. The idea is that Lincoln woke up one night in the middle of the White House, and he went downstairs, and he saw his own body lying in state in a casket, and that's when he realized that he was going to be assassinated. Problem is, that was a story told by one guy 40 years after the assassination. It was an old U.S. Marshal who recalled this dream that Lincoln supposedly told him. None of the eyewitnesses at the time, his wife, his personal secretaries, none of his friends ever remembered Lincoln saying that story. And he talked about his dreams a lot, and they talked about some of his other dreams, but he never reported that dream. And that's why most historians today no longer believe that story, because Lincoln had a premonition of his own death. Just the opposite. Lincoln died a happy man. That day, today, 155 years ago, was the happiest day of Lincoln's life, probably since he was elected, because he had achieved what he had set out to do. He saved the United States.
Exactly.
He was beginning to dream of life after the presidency. And honestly, it's the tragedy of it is Abraham Lincoln died a happy man.
Yeah. And it cost him his life to save the country.
Yes. Ultimately, it did. But that is exactly what that was his mission, and that's what he accomplished. And he really was. Everybody remarked on that day, how he looked so much better. His hair was combed, and he seemed so cheerful. And he was.
Yes. Well, little did he know that all his worries were going to be put behind him, so to speak, as far as the worries and concerns of this world. You know, often people ask about Wilkes Booth, and you mentioned the president's security. How the heck was he able to get to the president's box?
Well, it was a different era. Obviously, they didn't have quite the security we had today, although someone had taken a pot shot at Lincoln the year before, shot his hat off his head when he was riding around by himself out by Soldiers' Home, which was the summer residence. So after that, he had a military escort wherever he went during the day. But when he went to the theater, he felt it was too intrusive to have soldiers come in, so he agreed just to have a police bodyguard. Unfortunately, the police bodyguard, a guy named John Parker, was a notorious drunk and was last seen next door at the saloon having a drink during the play. There was a guy, however, Lincoln's personal assistant, a fellow named Charles Forbes, was sitting outside the door that led to the presidential box. Booth came up to him, and the guy stopped him and said, "I'm sorry, sir, this is the presidential box." And Booth simply pulled out a calling card and handed it to him and said, "I need to speak to the president." And he said it in such an authoritative way, the fellow figured he probably had permission, and so he said, "Okay, go ahead. Let him in."
Wow. And we know that Booth, you know, from many reports, shoots the president. He jumps on the stage, which was a pretty good jump. I mean, and in the process broke his leg, right?
Yes, but that's been falsely portrayed in the movies and in drawings. He did not vault like a gymnast over the balustrade onto the stage. That would have been 20, 25 feet.
Right.
What he actually did was he climbed on the top of the balcony and lowered himself down, dangling on, holding on to some U.S. flags, and then dropped the last 8 to 10 feet onto the stage, like you or I would try and do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he did catch a spur, because he was wearing spurs on one of the flags, and so he kind of landed sideways and broke his left leg. At least that's what most people, that's what he said he did, was break his leg. Mm-hmm. There are some people that deny that. They say he broke it later, but he probably did break it in that fall. So.
But still pretty tough to evade catching, being caught for, what, almost 2 weeks, right?
That's right, and that's one of the big mysteries. And we did not know how that happened, because Booth just vanished into thin air. He ran off the back door, got on his horse, and literally vanished. And the largest manhunt in U.S. history saw no trace of him. And we didn't know how he did it for 20 years later until a former Confederate smuggler named Thomas Jones told his story to a reporter named George Townsend, and we finally found out how Booth did it, which was that Thomas Jones told him, he met him that night and said, "Your only chance of escaping is if you do exactly exactly what I say, and you lie down in this pine thicket, and they are searching every farmhouse, every barn, every path, every cow path, you have no chance to get away. Just, you got to hide in plain sight. And he promised to bring food and newspapers because Booth wanted to read his reviews, being the actor that he was.
You followed the facts and are giving us a whole new look at what happened, what really happened with the Lincoln assassination.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Oh, well, great to have you here. Robert Hutchison on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Robert. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-278. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A warning this morning from the director of the CDC of a possibly deadlier assault from the coronavirus yet to come. Dr. Robert Redfield telling the Washington Post that this winter could prove more difficult than the current strain of COVID-19 in the United States. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx says nobody can say for certain.
We're also hoping by that time that we have additional treatment options for people with COVID-19.
I don't know if it will be worse. I think this has been pretty bad. When you see what has happened in New York, that was very bad.
The Senate's finally approved a measure to inject $300 billion into a popular small business coronavirus relief loan fund. It's now been sent to the House, which could vote on it tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez, live.
In the silence of the mountains and the crashing of the sea.
Hey, we're back with you, America. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. Just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. And it is time for the one and only, no baloney. We're talking James Herson, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. Mr. James, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, it's great to be with you. Yeah, there's no baloney and no toilet paper. You know, it's, people are hoarding baloney. You can't even get it.
I know. What is the deal? I mean, hey, want some baloney? I'll give you a roll of toilet paper. There was somebody the other day that was, they actually went back to the store, James. They had, I guess, thousands of rolls of toilet paper and disinfectant, and they realized that, hey, they get caught up. Maybe they just couldn't sell it at the swap meet anymore. Of course, people can't go to swap meets. And they just, they thought, well, they bring it back to the store. And the store says, hey, you know, you bought it. It's done. We're not taking it back.
Yeah. I mean, the stores aren't accepting returns anyway, most of them. You know, it's interesting. You mentioned the stores. You're in the aisles. And I happen to look when I'm in the aisles and I see these people all wearing their little masks and stuff.
Right.
And they can't stop adjusting them.
Yes.
So what are they doing when they adjust their mask? They're touching their face.
Exactly.
Didn't they tell us that it was really bad for us to touch our face, especially when our hands are picking up products that mm-hmm. other people have touched, when we're in a public place? And wasn't it the WHO that told us that we should not wear masks? And isn't it weird that after we have flattened the curve, which we have,
mm-hmm.
and after we have gotten to the point where we realize that our hospital facilities are not being overrun, which they are not,
mm-hmm.
they're sufficient, that all of a sudden we're supposed to wear masks?
Exactly.
It doesn't make a lick of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, the WHO still insists that we should not wear masks, while our CDC tells us we should.
No.
What to do.
This has been the problem, is the mis-messaging and communication of this whole situation. From the failed models that they told us that, there was going to be thousands of body bags on Fifth Avenue in New York, and hundreds of thousands of people dying in America. And, of course, they're trying to, juice those numbers anyways. You and I have talked about for the last couple of weeks is that these numbers have been rigged, but somehow we're supposed to give it some sort of veracity. But what it does is it undercuts the whole messaging, and it confuses the heck out of people. And just like you said, before we weren't wearing masks, but we were bending the curve. Now all of a sudden we got to wear masks, and the people don't even know what to do with the mask. They're, they don't put them on correctly. They're fussing with them all along. And it just makes you wonder how really effective these masks are at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, and when you talk about the numbers, you sort of picture in your mind a classroom, and the teacher asks little Tommy what the answer is, and little Tommy says, "Oh, the answer is 2.2 million. Oh, wait a second. Oh, no, I forgot something. It's actually 900,000. Oh, wait a second. No, it's 500,000. No, it's 200,000. No, it's 100,000. No, it's 61,000, which is the latest number.
Who did you say this was, little Tommy?
This little Tommy.
No. You meant little Tony Fauci is what you meant.
Yeah, that's right. Little Tony.
Little Tony was the one back then in school.
But actually, it's little Philly, because the numbers come from the University of Washington, from the IHME, which is funded by Bill Gates.
Yes.
The world's global physician. It's just amazing how pervasive he has been. And Bill Gates has said, we should stay locked down till we get a vaccine. And
he meant till he got the vaccine. That's
exactly
what he meant. Yes.
He meant. And, we've never gotten people think that a flu shot is a vaccine. No, it's not.
Yeah.
We've never gotten a vaccine for
flu. It's just the flu.
Yeah,
it's last year's flu.
Exactly. So there's strains popping up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's all these studies coming out. There's one in California, one in Massachusetts, and they're actually able to do a randomized sample of populations, and they're finding a massive amount of people who have the antibodies when they extrapolate the whole population. It's almost like in Northern California, I think they came up with a study where, almost 100% of the homeless population mm-hmm. had the antibodies, according to the study, which is used randomized samples.
Mm-hmm.
And so it leads us to believe that these theories that the virus was in our population long before cases were confirmed, meaning that we had the herd immunity, that's what the antibodies are, were developed. And that accounts for California's low numbers in comparison with New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. Well, you know, the thing, you know, I guess the challenge that we have in all this, James, is to be able to discern all this information in a way that is done outside of the mainstream media that doesn't even know what the heck they're talking about. You know, it's all just loaded up with opinion, biased because they hate the orange man, number one. Number two, oh, that's right, we have a... We have an election coming up, and somehow they want to buttress up Joe Biden, which even the Democratic apparatchik understands, like, oh, man, we're in trouble here. If this guy gets elected, we better make sure maybe the out is that he does take on Michelle Obama as his vice president, and then maybe we get another 4-8 years of Obama, because we just didn't get enough suffering under the 8 years of his regime.
Yeah, no, there's a... A dream, a fever dream of the Democrats, and it was in an article in the New York Post that Biden would pick Michelle and Biden would win, and then Biden would announce that for medical reasons he has to resign. Michelle ascends to the presidency and chooses for her VP, Barack. And then we're stuck with Mr. and Mrs. Obama back in the White House again. And it, you know, this is it's a dream of the Democrats. It's not impossible, and especially since there seems to be even stronger than the kind of unified media that attacked Trump on Russia and Stormy Daniels and Omarosa and the fake impeachment and on trying to hold President Trump responsible for every single case and every single death that President Trump secretly went to the lab in Wuhan, and he got a hold of the virus, and he planted it in this country. I mean, anything, say anything.
Sure.
To try to, and so that's, certainly CNN is doing that.
Well, yeah, well Trump probably
24/7.
Trump probably raises bats somewhere, you know, somewhere in Kansas.
Yeah.
He's out there.
Exactly.
He's a bat raiser. That's what's going on. Well, this impossible dream that the Democrats are hoping for, I guess, what is it? Is it Barack Obama playing Don Quixote and Biden playing Sancho Pancho there on his donkey, or what's the deal?
I think it's Barack Obama has long been playing puppet master, the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, you know, because look at all that emanated from the Obama administration while he was in power, starting up what is the worst scandal in American history, the spying and the surveillance of a candidate, and then the surveillance of a president,
How does this not be on him, James? This is the thing that's beyond me.
We've
got to go to break. We got to go to break. We'll tear it apart even more on the other side. Stay with us. More from James Herson after this.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Bill Martinez live.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. James Herson is with us, and our conversation continues with the best-selling author, media, and legal analyst. James, the question I asked you is, it's beyond me that Barack Obama has not been able to be held in any kind of accountable position regarding this Russian delusion and all that he perpetrated on Donald Trump, because this happened on his watch. It didn't happen on Donald Trump's watch. This was something orchestrated and in unity and in a cabal-like manner out of his administration. I don't know how he's been able to avoid this other than that the mainstream media continues to run interference.
Absolutely. And they ran interference for the entire time he was in office. But now, in the midst of the coronavirus, we have these kind of filling in and connecting the dots details that have been emerging. Some of them, I think, are document dumps where we're finding out that Barack Obama's FBI, using the FISA courts, it wasn't like they were using them fraudulently just in very select cases. They were using them fraudulently all the time.
Exactly.
And the fact is that we now know, we see enough documents to show that the Clinton campaign hatched this whole plan of using that dossier, which was taking Russian information and laundering it, using the media and segments of government to try to destroy a president before he even took office. This is the greatest scandal in history, and it commenced and initiated during the Obama administration, and Obama's never left.
No.
Obama's been active behind the scenes, and I think you can see his timing. So if this emerges where Michelle Obama takes this vice presidential slot with Biden, it's clearly concocted and planned and put together by former President Obama, who is operating behind the scenes. It's as clear as a bell. Now the problem.
Well, he already cleared out Bernie Sanders. He cleared out Bernie, cleared out Elizabeth, because he saw what was going to happen. And here you have Joe Biden, whose health is questionable. I mean, James, it is so obvious. He has a hard time completing a sentence, remembering where he's at. He misspeaks so often, and people think, oh, it's all so cute. And oh yeah, by the way, using the Brett Kavanaugh standard of sexual abuse, it's now starting to come back and roost on the heads of the Democrats, and Biden has nowhere to run. And I got to tell you, the veracity of his former aide, well, it sure sounds a lot more believable than Blasey Ford's.
The double standard is amazing. To see the media contort itself and try to somehow justify the difference between reporting on this Biden scandal versus the way they tried to destroy then Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. It's absolutely striking. But, you know, Biden has the problem that obviously the more people actually see him speaking, even from a teleprompter, the more they realize he's unfit. But Michelle Obama has a problem. She has this incredible image, this high likability, and she's kind of the herald of her as if she could have, she just got a show on PBS after they got a slush fund from the government. Mm-hmm. And she's got that Netflix production company, and everything's sailing smoothly. There's a big risk for Michelle Obama. She's never been under the microscope at all.
Yes.
And her image could be tarnished irrevocably. Just ask exactly. President Trump about it.
Right. And so, I think that's why she's deferred. Every time they bring up any possibility of her running for public office, she just kind of smiles and says, ain't going to happen. She knows better, but we'll see.
Yeah, she doesn't even leave an opening.
No.
But so it may be just a pipe dream. But, you know, one thing is for sure, it's all going to be moot and irrelevant if we don't get this country started soon, because there are terrible, terrible consequences to having this economy shut down that will cause far more human suffering. It already has.
Exactly. Right.
You know, there's a study in the UK that just came out, and it shows that in the UK there were all these people under cancer treatment. And because of the lockdown, many of them couldn't get their treatment and consequently died. There are more deaths in the UK from lack of cancer treatment than there is from the coronavirus today.
Yeah.
So the consequences of this mindless lack of balance that we are having all over the world, but particularly in the United States, is going to cause so much human suffering, and it has the potential to unravel America at the seams.
They're talking that the consequence of unemployment could end up with, talk about death by unemployment, forget about the coronavirus, that it could rival as many as the numbers that we're going to see people dying from COVID-19. But even those numbers are suspect, because right now, when you have a system that rewards anything that can be associated with the coronavirus, well, then hospitals are rewarded because they get more money. The statistics look better, so the scientists love that, because the models that they even had to make some major adjustments, at least there's some sort of veracity that they can claim for it. I mean, and this is what everyday Americans, this is what Michiganders, this is what people across the country are seeing, and they're going, wait a minute, you know, we have quarantined ourselves, we have put ourselves in this kind of stress. People are, you know, suicide rate is going up, divorce rates are going up, PTSD issues, drug usage, all this stuff, all this ill effect. And again, according to solid studies that Betsy McCoy, the former lieutenant governor of New York, reported on, that, these are the harsh consequences that even Donald Trump spoke of. But the mainstream media, because they hate Trump so much, it fell on deaf ears. I mean, when he made the statement about the, don't let the cure be worse than the disease, the mainstream media didn't get it. They had no clue what he was talking about.
Oh, absolutely. Not only that, many of them don't care.
Right.
Because for them, the getting rid of Donald Trump is worth any cost, any cost. And the fact is, you mentioned addiction, and this is one of the biggest killers in America. People die, they overdose, they're alcoholics, people die from driving under the influence. All of this relates to addiction, and when people are unemployed, when the economy is bad, all of those deaths rise precipitously. And those deaths are going up.
Exactly.
And the use of drugs is going up. And not even to mention the opioid crisis that no longer is even discussed, because this coronavirus crisis. Exactly. And we're talking about deaths that are, 5 to 30 times the size of the coronavirus or the flu. The flu happens to be, we had a bad flu in the United States where 60,000 people died.
Yeah.
Just a couple of seasons ago.
We were approximating that, James, and then all of a sudden, the flu numbers, we bent the curve straight down, because all the numbers are being juiced and they're put into the coronavirus category. But look, we only have about a minute and a half left here, but I did want you to comment on your column, how celebrities are rallying around the WHO and disrespecting America. What is going on here?
Well, it happened over the past weekend. Celebrities showed how ignorant they are about geopolitical realities and how unappreciative, they have a lack of gratitude for the freedoms in this country. And it's unbelievable. They had a virtual concert called One World. It was to benefit the WHO. It had Taylor Swift, John Legend, Paul McCartney, the Rolling Stones, Beyonce, and on and on. It was hosted by all three late-night comedians from all the networks. It had appearances. Oh, Michelle Obama made an appearance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, of course, Bill and Melinda Gates made an appearance. America's doctor couple that
right.
don't have an MD. But they raised money for the WHO. Just days after the president canceled funding for the WHO. And why did he cancel funding? Because the WHO, all kinds of reports had surfaced in credible news sources that alleged that the communist regime in China was essentially influencing the WHO
and controlling their narrative, which was supposed to be objective. James, we got to leave it there. Our conversation will continue next week with James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author, media analyst, and law professor. As always, James, appreciate the time. Have a great day. Be safe and well, my friend.
All right. You be safe and well as well.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.